Do you want me to say something? Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that all right?
Fine. So, what I wanted to ask you first was just to go back to the protest things. Like, for example, you talked about leafleting.
Yeah.
Can you explain what you leafleted?
Well, it was the magazine. It was that thing called the Roadbreaker. As far as I remember, mostly we delivered free, although we were obviously wanting their attention, the publication, the Roadbreaker, which was, you know, about the situation as it was in the. I think it probably talked about the inquiries and where they were at and what we were doing and bits of news and stuff like that. It was generally just to kind of, you know, push the campaign in the local houses with the local community, really. So we'd go up and down the streets, putting it through the doors. That's my memory.
And do you know where Road? Who produced Roadbreaker?
Well, I don't really remember exactly, but we did think we found out looking at stuff yesterday. Do you remember? I can't remember.
Was it like the local?
It was done by a mixture of people who were on the campaign, some of whom were, I mean, you know, the logo is designed by Ian Bourne, who's an artist. I think some of the content might have been done, but mostly, as far as I remember, it wasn't by artists. It was, you know, it was a campaign thing done by that. There was a guy who called Henry. I think he was definitely involved in it, and we found him in the paper cutting yesterday, which you might want to refer to somehow in the transcript, but I can't remember, but he set up a little kind of organisation that had quite a big long name. It was actually probably just him and one other person. I think he produced it.
Okay.
From an office, which I think was in Claremont Road, which is probably the office we mentioned before, but in Claremont Road, actually.
And you mentioned Julia at the Philibrook Road protest.
Yeah.
Can you remember what she did? Because you know she...
Well, we were all standing outside the post office, and the gate, there were like big gates that were closed. And I think they had corrugated iron on front of them, probably. And inside, they were going to demolish the post office. And I can't remember I think maybe a crane was coming to come in to be let through the gates. But I'm not 100% sure. As far as I remember, she made quite a lot of noise kicking the gate and stuff as part of her protest. We were being a bit quieter about it all, really. And then, as far as I remember, when she started doing that, she was arrested and taken away in a van. But it kind of like was only necessary. Well, it wasn't necessary because she wasn't actually doing any harm. I don't think she tried to climb over. She just made a lot of noise. And I think it was just sort of, it just got them kind of to think, oh, well, if we're going to arrest somebody, we'll arrest the noisy one. And they did. That's my memory of it. And she kicked up. She made a lot of noise, but not physically, didn't really do anything.
And you know, you mentioned going down to the Department of Transport. And
yeah, well, Department of Environment, it might have been. I think, I'm not sure, it was kind of connected.
You said you were in boxes.
Yes.
What was that?
I think they were probably, they might have been made to look a bit like buildings or something. I can't really remember. They were quite simple, you know, took them flat pack and just folded them out and then sat inside them or something. I don't know why. I can't remember what they were now, really. I can only imagine they would have been painted to be the boxes, or they might just have had things written on them, you know, protest or slogans on them, and then we were just inside them. But I definitely remember it being boxes.
Okay.
But,
and
you know,
you mentioned Colin Becks.
Yeah.
What do you remember about him?
Well, he was an architect. From the GLC, and he came. I mean, he just sort of turned up, as far as I remember. Probably at the inquiry when it started, is my guess, but I'm not sure. And then got to know people who were from the community who were at the inquiry. And then I think he just used to, in the end, come very often. And then in the end, he moved into one of the houses that was empty and lived in the area during the time of the protest, but from quite early on. And he was probably about 50. I remember him having grey hair and a grey beard at that time, and he was very energetic and drove a big Rover car, which was quite amusing, I always thought, seeing as he was a road protester.
And you mentioned briefly going down to Wanstead.
Yeah.
And Patricia Branger.
Hmm.
Can you...
Well, I don't think I knew her, but I did recognise her in a picture I saw recently, and she was around but very much in that area only. She wasn't somebody I don't remember coming down. You know, there was a kind of division in a way, because it was quite a linear development, this whole thing, and the protests were quite, were very local. And I think she was probably involved in saving the tree on Wanstead Green, whatever it's called, and her own house had been possessed, I think, and stuff. And I don't, but I, so I didn't know her, but I did recognise her. And I think she always used to wear a wax jacket. My memory is that there were some people in Wanstead who were, and played up on it probably, being quite posh. They weren't necessarily, but they were resident posh. No, their line was to be residents and not to be at all, you know, outsider grungy people or artists. Or they were, and I don't, and she was probably, but so that's my memory of her anyway. But she was very nice, I think. I think I went in her house once. I think I do remember going in her old house. I don't know why though. Probably just to go up there and meet them and support them at one point, but very briefly though.
And the last question, I mean, you might not want to talk about this, but you don't have to mention names, but you mentioned a friend who was very active in the campaign and then got ill.
Yeah, no, there was a lovely man. He was an artist, as far as I remember, but I didn't know his work. And he lived with a partner. I don't think they had children, but they may have had a baby at some point. That rings a bell, but I think maybe that was after this, what we're going to talk about briefly, which is that he was very involved in the campaign, and I think this was quite common, that people really got, some people got very involved, and it just took over their lives completely, and they would, every waking hour was spent probably not doing any art, some of the artists, and just doing the campaign. And he was one of these people, and he got very involved, and I think it just got too much, and in the end his brain was just spinning, and I think he just couldn't cope anymore, and his partner found it terribly difficult, and he was just never going to sleep, and he was just constantly, and I think in the end he, I don't understand these terms, but I remember him being in the local psychiatric hospital at least once. I don't remember whether I took him or whether I think I did go there once to see him, but or drove his partner up to see him. But he was okay, but in the end he had to be really kept away from it for his own good. But it wasn't easy to do because they lived in the area, and I think in the end they left the area really for his mental health.
Did you find out about that situation? I think you said because his girlfriend rung you up and you went round to,
I'm not sure,
talk to him.
I definitely did talk to him, and I did help a bit, but I don't remember the details of it. But, you know, I obviously knew them, but so did a lot of other people. But I definitely did something, but I can't remember exactly what. But, and I don't remember an incident that occurred that he did something that everyone thought, oh my God, he's gone bonkers. I don't think anything like that happened. I just think it was just, she was worried about him, I think. So I think she probably let it, but I don't remember the details any more than that, I don't think. Mm.